Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the latest edition of the First Down Snapcast. Tonight I'm joined by regular pundit Stuart Horsfall and returning pundit Ian Davis. How are you both doing tonight?
Not bad at all, thank you, Richard. How are you?
I'm frigging awesome.
We need to let the listeners know, but we think Stuart might be becoming a bit of an NFL whisperer.
Yeah, I am. I'm a genius. I can't believe that you doubted me, Richard. I called Adrian Peterson to Washington, and I called Martavis Bryant suspension.
You know that Martavis Bryant one, though? Hadn't that already been announced somewhere? Because I'm sure that I knew that beforehand. Or am I just... I've listened to you.
Yeah, I think you've just listened to me, and I think that's basically what it is. Your whole source for NFL news comes via me, so...
That's why I know nothing.
Yeah, that's why you know nothing, yeah. To be honest, it had been muted a couple of times that he might be in for another suspension. But the funny thing about that one is that obviously he's been cut this week, hasn't he, from the Raiders squad. But I get the funny feeling that the Steelers already knew that he was going to get suspended and basically cashed in on him quick before anybody else possibly might find out that he was going to get suspended. And then they've basically come out of this brilliantly, I think, of the Steelers, because what did they get from? Was it a fourth-round pick or something?
Yeah, they got a draft pick for him, didn't they?
Yeah. So that's quite amusing.
Yeah, it is. So I sound a bit fake then, didn't I?
Yeah, but I mean, that just...
I did one of those laughs when I said, yeah, it is, as if, yeah, it's really not.
Yeah, but it just, it sums up Auckland at the minute, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's... which leads us into what we're going to talk about first as well, don't it, with Khalil Mack.
NFL News and Rumours.
So, pre-season, final games of pre-season have come, and all the 32 NFL sides have been doing their roster cuts this week, down to the traditional number. But before the rosters were cut, late last Thursday, rumours surfaced of what's been going on all pre-season that Khalil Mack was going to be traded from the Oakland Raiders. As previously, this rumour has come up and then gone quiet. However, this time, it was led to believe that Chicago Bears were taking him, and lo and behold, he was traded to Chicago Bears, Stuart.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it briefly last week that we actually thought that it was going to come on the back of the Aaron Donald signing his new contract, that Khalil Mack would then sign a contract at the Raiders. And we thought that it was actually they were just waiting for the LA Rams to set the market for that kind of player. And then they wanted to make Khalil Mack the most expensive defensive player. But then out of nowhere, they just traded him to Bears, which, to be honest, I was quite surprised about, because they sent Khalil Mack and the second round pick to the Bears, and the Bears sent them back two first round picks and a sixth. So I think that the Bears have properly had the Raiders' pants down there, because Khalil Mack is a potential Hall of Famer. He's currently in his prime and he's the kind of once-in-a-lifetime kind of defensive player that you just aren't going to pick up in a draft. And I just don't think you're going to replace him, not with two first-round picks, and you're not going to replace him soon. So that tells me that the Raiders are looking to the future and they are thinking about when they're in Vegas and building a younger roster. And it tells me that the Bears are thinking about the here and now.
Yes, one thing I've heard as well, Khalil Mack's contract, I think, is worth $90 million, isn't it, this new one? But Raiders are paying Gruden $100 million.
Yeah, 10-year contract for $100 million, isn't it?
Yeah. But, one pundit was intimating that... I think it was Shannon Sharp, actually, was saying that that was the reason they couldn't afford Khalil Mack, because they were paying Gruden so much.
Well, I mean, I'm not being funny, but Gruden's not exactly covering himself in glory with the way he's been handling everything recently, has he? So,
yeah, I mean, he never spoke to Mack, did he?
Yeah. This has been
off-season, hasn't it? This is going to come to a head.
Yeah. I just don't know why you trade that kind of player. That's what gets me. I don't see it. And there's a lot of rumours that they didn't want to be having a lot of their cap space tied up in two players, because obviously they've paid Derek Carr, and then if they paid Khalil Mack, they'd have nearly $40 million of their cap space tied up in two players. But for me, when you've got players that are that good, you've got to pay them, because you can spend $20 million on a handful of free agents that aren't going to amount to much.
Definitely. Well, this trade to me seems that on the flip side for Chicago Bears is that they're literally putting everything, the trust in Trubisky, so he's going to be the franchise quarterback, so they're now building the team around him.
Yeah, I just don't understand why every team wants to get better in the NFC North. What's that all about? Why can't teams get worse, not better? Why can't we have like a Dallas Cowboys in our league or something? Or the Giants? Somebody that's rubbish.
But it's definitely good for the division, though, isn't it? On a whole, it's going to be one of the more competitive divisions this year.
It's going to be a cracking division, that one, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually fear for Kirk Cousins now. He's probably going to get injured by Khalil Mack, isn't he?
Well, obviously, Bears drafted as well. Their first-round pick also was defensive, so...
Yeah, I mean, Raquan Smith looks like an absolute beast as well. So that front seven now for Bears is looking really strong, because they've got Floyd back and they've brought Lynch in, haven't they? So it's actually looking really good, is that front seven. So, yeah, that's not really what I wanted to hear. But, yeah, they're looking good.
And the other thing is, I mean, they got ridiculed last year, didn't they, for trading up to get Trubisky. But they obviously have got confidence in him still, haven't they? Because they're going forward with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, to be honest, I know they traded up to get him, but I don't think what's-his-face Fox did him any favours last year at all. And I think Nagy will at least build an offence at least build a playbook which Trubisky can operate. Yeah, I just don't think they didn't give him anything to work with last year. And they have got some really dynamic players on that offence. You know, you've got Howard and Cohen out of the backfield, and then you've got Gabriel, Anthony Miller that was drafted, who was a really good young wide receiver, and they've got Allen Robinson as well. And I think Allen Robinson's got a lot to prove, so it'll be interesting to see how they pan out.
Yeah, and obviously Trey Burton went as well, didn't they?
Yeah, so they've done some good business. But, I mean, to be fair, in that division, they had to stay with the pace of the division, really. And I think the fact that the Vikings are looking good, and then you've got Detroit are always good on offence, and obviously because of Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers are always going to be there. To not get left behind, they needed to do that kind of thing, and they needed to bring in a new head coach, and they needed to change it up a bit, which they have done, so it's going to be interesting.
So, as earlier mentioned in the news, is the roster cuts. Any cuts surprised anyone this week?
Can I go first? Because I think you both know what I'm going to say.
I think I might know where you're going with this one, Ian.
Dallas cutting Dan Bailey. What are they doing? To me, over the last 7 years, he's been the best kicker in the league. I know you might talk about Tucker and one or two others, but consistently, over that period of time, Dan Bailey has been the man. He just don't miss.
It was a strange decision in my eyes.
Well, I think I think I read somewhere that he got released because he's the only Dallas Cowboy player that's not got a pending suspension looming over his head.
He hasn't been arrested once in 7 seasons.
Yeah. No, to be honest,
you just stole my joke. I was going to use that in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe I've stolen your jokes. I've stolen a dad joke.
Are you saying jokes? That was my joke. That was it. Oh, that was it. Podcast.
Just the one.
Yes.
You just being here is quite funny.
Now, the only possible reason that makes any sense, there's still talk about Earl Thomas coming to Dallas. And Dan Bailey, I know it's crazy, but he frees up £3 million in cap space by cutting the kicker. And I just can't see any other sense behind it. Start talking about his injury problems and, you know, he did have injuries last year, missed a big chunk of the season, but...
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think they've done it because, yes, they might have had some concerns about his injury and he did miss a bit of last season, but I think it's cap space. I think that's what they've done it for.
Particularly Earl Thomas. I mean, Seahawks are still saying they're not willing to talk to Earl Thomas at the moment. I still think he's going to go somewhere.
He wants to go to the Cowboys, doesn't he? So
yeah, he got caught in the changing room with Vinci saying, "Come and get me," at the end of last season. Yeah. He was on camera.
But who, as a Dallas fan now, who do you think they're going to bring in as a kicker?
They've got that Mayer on the back of him making a 57-yard field goal in pre-season.
So you're trying to tell me that they're not bringing in Roberto Aguayo then?
Well, apparently they are, because we did hear some flash news from you, didn't we, earlier on?
I did. I called it off air. I called it.
Yes.
I don't think this whisper's going to come off for Stuart compared to your previous.
No, team. I don't. No. So actually, I actually thought that the one that might make his way there might be Kai Forbath after he got released from Vikings. I thought he might be a decent pickup.
Yeah, no, I think they'll stick with the guy that they've got. That's going to stay in the space.
Yeah, another guy who got cut last week, we mentioned on the show last week during AFC West preview, Paxton Lynch was cut aside by Broncos.
Yes, don't want to.
Yeah, what an absolute waste of a first round pick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he played like four games for him?
Yeah, well, he's one step better than Christian Hackenberg, wasn't he? But that's not saying the right lot because I think they're both rubbish. I don't know whether. Paxton Lynch has been dealt a rough hand because I just don't know whether he works within the offence that they've been providing him with and whether actually somebody else might take a punt on him or whether he's going to be another Brock Osweiler and he's actually going to be rubbish everywhere he goes. But I won't be surprised to see somebody take a punt on him and put him on a practice squad.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, it was a first-round pick, so you'd assume someone will take a punt somewhere.
Well, I mean, if you just got to look at that draft to see the players that got taken... after him, so Denver obviously saw something in him in his college tape and his combine that would suggest that he could play in the NFL. So I don't know whether you completely lose all those attributes, but it'd be interesting to see what happens to him next.
Because yeah, obviously Denver drafted him because they were looking for a Manning replacement, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't quite live up to that, did he?
No. Any more cuts anyone's got, or...
There's the Corey Coleman one. We didn't talk about that last week, did we? Did he get cut?
Browns traded him.
Yeah. He traded, sorry. Yeah, no.
Seventh.
Then the Bills cut him, didn't they?
Yeah. There's something really wrong with that lad as well because yeah. I don't even think the Bills have a particularly deep wide receiver talent pool and they still couldn't manage to get on that roster, so I don't know whether he's got some off-the-field issues that he needs to sort through before he can get back in. Because, he was a first-round pick as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
So there's a lot of first-round talent being bounced out of the league, isn't there, at the minute?
Yeah, and if he was a Browns first-round pick, he must have been quite a high pick as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, if he was a Browns first pick, he was bound to be brilliant.
Yeah. In someone's eyes. A couple of other ones who I noticed did get cut. Gillislee from Patriots and Kendall Wright from Vikings obviously didn't make the final. Gillislee's already found room at Saints to be cover while Ingram's suspended, so whether Kendall Wright might move on as well.
Yeah, I actually think I was surprised that Kendall Wright didn't get picked up by somebody like the Patriots, because obviously they're needing a bit of depth at wide receiver. But they picked up Hanson, didn't they, from the Jets?
Yeah, another guy Seahawks have drafted then dropped. So
yeah,
not any well-known people like last year when they brought in Dorsett.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this goes back to what I was saying, you know, from the outset of the podcast about the Vikings, is they put a lot of faith in the draft picks that they do, and they drafted Laquon Treadwell in the first round a couple of years ago, and I think now they're going to stick with him. He's shown quite a good connection with Kirk Cousins in preseason, so I think that is primarily why Kendall Wright has been cut. Because he's lost out on that wide receiver 3 slot to Laquon Treadwell.
Good shout.
The only other one I've noticed, I've made a note of, and it goes back to what you're saying about Dan Bailey getting cut for not getting arrested, was that they did cut Rico Gathers, the tight end, because he got arrested for marijuana possession last week.
Yeah, and didn't the Browns cut Kendricks as well for the insider trading?
They did. I think it was the day after we were talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Thursday he got cut, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was also quite upset to see them release Caduce, the crystal ball loving tight end. I don't know if anybody's been watching Hard Knocks, but he was kind of a fan's favourite in the program. But he's been cut as well, hasn't he?
I'm a bit behind on Hard Knocks, so I've not seen that.
I can imagine.
Oh, well, I've just ruined the ending for you.
Yeah, I'll not bother now.
Yeah.
The Titanic sank at the end as well, aren't you now?
Well, it got a small hole in the side.
Well, I think we'll call it on this week's news there. So we're just days away now from the 2018 season starting, and we've got our final two divisional previews today. First up now, we've got the AFC East. Long tradition, in the last 15 years, only one other team, apart from the Patriots, have won this division. Times are changing. Three of the other teams, Bills, Dolphins and the Jets, all drafted new quarterbacks. Will things be changing in the East this year? What do you reckon, Ian?
No, they won't. No, we can get this one over within about a minute, can't we? It's Patriots again by a mile. As long as we've got Belichick and Brady, to me, there's no competition.
I reckon Brady's going to not be as good as he has been in the past.
He's still going to be good enough to win that division for the Pats, though, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I still think he's going to be good enough to win that division, but that doesn't say right a lot because he's not coming up against much. But I think you're starting to see some cracks in Brady's game in the Super Bowl, and I think you'll see more cracks in his game this season. And I still think they're going to be a playoff team, but then how deep they go into the playoffs, I think, will all depend on Brady and his mentality, because I don't know how motivated he is, because when he looks at his team around him, I don't know whether he truly believes there's another Super Bowl in that team.
And he started talking about the end of his career now as well.
I've noticed.
I think he's done it again yesterday. He's done that 4 or 5 times over the close season, and I think
time is coming to an end.
But for me, with someone like Brady, if he's not 100% committed, then I think that's where his performances will dip. Because he's got an eye for detail, hasn't he, with how he's been playing over the years. And I think he's thought about retiring in the past, but he's looked at the team around him and thought, you know what, I can win another one here. But I think he's looking at the team around him.
There's options are dwindling now in that team.
Yeah, and it's just there's a big question marks over the Gronk and whether Gronk can carry a full workload for the full season. And I know he's just got paid again, but there's question marks on whether they can keep him healthy. They lost Solder. They've not got Edelman for 4 weeks for the first 4 games. Even when Edelman's back, you've got Edelman and Hogan, but then you're looking at that wide receiver corp and thinking, actually, it's not as good as it has been in the past. There's a lot of pressure on Sony Michael to be the kind of the dynamic running back that they're after. But as we've touched on in previous podcasts, it's difficult for rookies in the first season to hit the ground running. So there's a lot of question marks, I think, over the Patriots. But I think they will still be good because they've got the experience to be good. But how deep they go into the playoffs, I think, is the big question mark.
And yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I think they say to both of your points, I don't want to go on about two Patriots too much because we have got other teams to talk about. Winning the AFC East is only a detriment of how poorly the three teams have been. Out of the other three teams, we'll start with Dolphins, Stu. How do you think their drafting went? Because obviously they had to bring Cutler in last year to replace Tannehill. Tannehill's back. And obviously the draft, a lot of players have left because of salary cap. What do you reckon's gone out? Total rebuild?
Yeah, I think the rest of the teams in this division are in a very much a rebuild process. I think obviously the way that they got rid of people like Ajayi last year, and obviously got rid of Landry, I think they're fully in that kind of rebuild process of the franchise. I'm not a big fan of Tannehill, and that goes back to when I've watched him a couple of years ago against when I watched at a London game, the Dolphins versus the Jets, and quite frankly, I thought it was atrocious, and it was a horrible, horrible game, and I just can't believe I paid money to go watch him. So I've got a bit of a downer on Tannehill, but I kind of hope he proves me wrong just because I want more competition for the Patriots. But, you know, there's big things coming, hopefully coming out for Kenyon Drake. They've still got Kenny Stills and Parker at wide receiver, so they've still got some options. They've still got a reasonably decent defense. It's not exactly stacked with superstars, but you know they're a decent unit. So we'll see. I think they might be the best of the rest, so to speak.
They brought a bit of experience in the trades. They brought Frank Gore at running back, and they brought obviously Danny Amendola in at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think they've done some clever business. I think they've taken some bigger wage earners off the cap and then brought in some, you know, Amendola's gone there basically to slightly prolong his career in the sunshine, which you can't blame him, and a lot of his family are down there, so you can't blame him for that. I think he'll be a safe pair of hands. It'll be interesting to see, because I actually think that between the Jets, I think the Jets are looking quite positive as well. I think there's a lot of Jets fans that are started to think forward now because they've got Sam Darnold, who's obviously been confirmed as the week one starter for the Jets. So, interesting times.
Yeah, but Jets do have a bit of optimism, don't they, at the moment?
I was reading as well that Darnold will be the youngest starter in modern day NFL history as well, which I don't realise. They've got a bit of strength at running backs. You know, they've got a couple of decent running backs there. Probably, I would put it at a similar standard. I don't like to agree with Stuart, but I seem to be doing it a lot because I don't like Tannehill at Dolphins either. They started last season to sort of cut the losses, didn't the Dolphins? And started getting rid of players and starting a full rebuild then. And last season, I mean, I went to one of the Dolphins games and the fans were so disillusioned with that season because they just felt that the backroom staff had just given up halfway through the season. So, right, that's it. This season's done. Let's start to rebuild. And it's going to take them. To me, it's going to take them a season or two to start.
It was almost like they gave up just to get a reasonably good draft pick.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I attended the one at Wembley against the Saints, and I've never. I thought I was at the game with Stuart when we saw Dolphins against the Jets, and I thought that was bad. But the Dolphins' performance against the Saints last year was even worse.
But the thing is, against the Saints, at least the Saints were good. When we went to watch them against the Jets, both teams were horrific. It was such a bad game.
Well, yeah, because Chris Ivory stole the show, didn't he, at running back, and that says it all.
Yeah, and he only got 30 yards, some 30, 40 yards. That's how bad it was.
And obviously, you can't have a division without Buffalo.
We've got Buffalo we want to talk about, haven't we?
Where do you want to start with Buffalo?
Well, to be honest, they've just named Nathan Peterman as their number one week one quarterback. So I don't know who they're playing, but they're going to lose, aren't they? Because I can't see him putting up points.
Well, what were the stats from his debut?
Sorry, go on.
What were his stats from his debut? Can you remember? He only played first half, didn't he?
I don't know, but I know that they traded AJ McCarron, didn't they? He's gone to.
He was traded to Raiders.
Raiders, that's it. Traded to Raiders. Another bit of awesome business from the Raiders.
But yeah, they cut Corey Coleman last week, which leaves, obviously, they've got Zay Jones there. If he gets the opportunity, Stu, he looks promising.
Yeah, I like Zay Jones, but I do worry for that entire receiving group because I just don't have any confidence in Peterman. I think Allen is going to be good, but again, I just think he's too raw as a quarterback, and he needs bedding in. He needs a season learning from someone, but I don't think he's going to learn from Nathan Peterman. So I don't know. Even if they did throw him in, he wouldn't have learned much being a number two. It's not like, you know, when Rodgers was playing behind Favre and he was learning from Favre and things like that. Do you know what I mean? It's you're learning from Nathan Peterman. Is he really learning from Nathan Peterman? So I don't know. It's questionable, that offense at the minute.
Yeah, because like I said, Kelvin Benjamin at wide receiver and Charles Clay at tight end, they're not the most dynamic and exciting players, are they?
I think suspension to Mackay hanging over him, haven't you? That's not.
Yeah, well, it's not just even if he doesn't get suspended because of the whole thing that happened with his girlfriend. I think I read somewhere last year that he accounted for 34% of the total yards that Bills put up, which is a lot, and they're actually worse on offense this year, I think, than they were last year, just because they don't have Tyrod Taylor, who effectively got them into the playoffs. Yeah. So how much more pressure are you putting on Shady to carry more? So are you going to push that 34% up to 50%? So if your running back's getting you 50% of your yards on offense, that's too much for me. That becomes a very one-dimensional team.
And it works for Dallas, man.
Yeah, but I think the threat that Dallas could throw it is the difference. Dallas have got an O-line that gets a lot of push up from and gives, you know, Zeke the spaces. I can't see how they're going to get... Yeah, I'm sorry. You're comparing apples and oranges there with...
Yeah, I know. I mean, you look at the offensive line, you know, it's weakened from last season, hasn't it? You know, so... And it wasn't that good last season. So you're not going to get the yards.
So
I'm going to
get
it.
No.
I mean, they barely scraped into the playoffs, and they had Tyrod Taylor, who did a lot of the legwork for them. They've significantly downgraded in that starting quarterback position. And even if Allen, with all his potential, does start, it's still a downgrade on a seasoned pro like Taylor. I just can't see him doing anything. In fact, I won't be surprised if they are the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, they've got a lot of issues there. So, rounding out on the knee, how do you think the AFC East will finish?
I think the Bills will win it. Not only joking, obviously. Pats to come top, as we've all said. I think the Jets second. I actually think the Dolphins might be worse than the Bills. I'm going to put the Bills third and the Dolphins last.
Stuart?
I'm going to agree with Ian in the fact that I think it's going to be Patriots, and I think Jets will come second. But then I think the Jets and Dolphins, I think, will be quite close. But I think Jets will probably just have a little bit more. Then Dolphins third, and then I think the Bills will be lucky if they win four games this year.
Yeah, I've got Pats winning, Jets finishing second, and Dolphins, with Tannehill's experience, it's going to put them third, and like with Peterman, and there's too much pressure on Allen to even rescue that for Bills, so Bills fourth, unfortunately. Joining me this week on a 2-Minute Drill is Keith Ingram. How are you doing, Keith?
Hello, Richard. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good, Keith. Let's get on with today's questions. Keith, who is your favourite team and why?
Being an Oakland Raiders fan since the late 1980s, when they were on Channel 4, and just loved the silver and black. They were dirty, they were mean, and just fell in love with them.
When did you first start watching the NFL?
When I started watching NFL, I started, like I said before, back in the late 1980s when it was televised by Channel 4, and it was just brilliant. I loved every minute of it, and I've been a fan ever since.
Who is your most favourite player of all time? It doesn't have to come from your team either.
Back in the 83 season, the Oakland, or the Los Angeles Raiders, I think they were called then, had a running back called Marcus Allen. He was such a fast player and just typified the team I follow, the silver and black. I also, back in those days, for some strange reason, had a quite liking to Joe Theismann, who was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins, if I remember. And one other than their players, John Riggins. So, a couple of ping. And also, back in the late 80s, Jerry Rice, who was superb with the San Francisco 49ers. A little bit with the Raiders, not as much with the Raiders, mind you.
Keith, are you a Gruden fan or hater?
That's an interesting question, Richard. I'm not right sure about Chucky. I think he has the ability to be a really good coach, as he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But losing a player of Khalil Mack is going to hurt the Raiders. I'm kind of worried. I think the first season it'll be very important to Chucky.
Los Angeles Raiders, Oakland Raiders or Vegas Raiders? Preference on which is the better name?
What's in a name? There have been Los Angeles, Oakland, they're going to be Vegas. They'll still be Raiders, whether they're in whatever place they're in. If they move to Timbuktu, they'll be still the Raiders. It's a name. I don't think it really matters. It does to the people who live there, because the Oakland are quite disappointed about losing the Raiders to Vegas, but money talks.
If you could have one player from any of the other 31 teams in the NFL and could have them at the Oakland Raiders, who would it be and why?
The player I'd most like at the Oakland Raiders would be J.J. Watt, a beast of a man, and would improve any team he played for. Yeah, J.J. Watt.
The Raiders' best draft pick ever and worst pick ever?
Best pick recently, Derek Carr. Closely followed by Cooper. Worst pick, far too many to mention, in the lean years that followed the appearance in the early 2000s of the Super Bowl. Some poor players picked up.
Thanks for joining us today, Keith. And if anyone else would like to get involved with a 2-minute drill, please contact us on our Facebook page or email at nflfansyorkshire@gmail.com or tweet us at tsnapcast.
So the second of our previews come tonight with the NFC East, the only division in the National Football League where each of the teams have won the Super Bowl.
Did you hear that, Stuart? That's the NFC East. It's the only division where all four teams have won a Super Bowl.
So this will start with the Washington Redskins, Ian.
You're going to find this really difficult to be nice to anybody in this group, aren't you?
I'm not going to be nice to the other three teams, don't worry. But, I mean, I don't know with the Redskins. You know, they've got a solid enough day. They've got Alex Smith, dependable quarterback. He's not going to be flashy, is he?
You get what you see, don't you, with Alex Smith?
Yeah.
What's wrong with a dependable quarterback?
Well, there isn't. That's what I mean. He's all right. And, you know,
I think he's more than all right. I think he's very accurate. He makes his play and he keeps the chains moving. And quite frankly, from a quarterback, I don't think you can really ask more. Just because he's not flashy and he's not, you know, don't go around with his hat on backwards and stuff like that, like bloody Dak Prescott and the rest of them.
Or throw the ball more than 5 yards.
To be honest, I've got a lot of time for Alex Smith. I think a lot of franchises, because he's not fashionable, I think is what it comes down to. Actually, as a quarterback, he's very serviceable. He does what he's meant to do. He learns the playbooks. He gets his offense moving. But he's just not trendy, is he? I think he's not something that you can run an ad campaign with. You know, he's not trendy. But for me, as a franchise quarterback, he's a lot better than a lot of the rookies out there. And I would trust him to take a team a lot further than a lot of the quarterbacks in the league.
And would you?
And the other thing is, and I'm going to stick up a bit for the Redskins here, that last year they had so many injuries. I mean, Dallas played them, and there was a point where you thought they're not even going to get a team on the pitch here. They were having people go down like ninepins, and they already had loads of injuries anyway. So I don't think you can judge them on the way they performed last season either, because they just constantly had injuries.
Do we think Alex Smith's a good replacement for obviously Cousins going and not going with a rookie?
Yeah, Cousins is rubbish.
Yeah, I think it's a really good replacement for him.
I think he's a decent replacement.
Because there was talks they would go for a rookie, but I think because of the amount, like we've alluded to already, the injuries, the organisation wanted a ready-made quarterback to come in and just pick him up.
Yeah, and I think he'll do that.
Yeah.
Obviously, again, referring to the injuries, they've been hit again. The number one pick has gone down in pre-season against the Patriots and is out for the season. Sort of. Called on old Adrian Peterson to come in and fill the boots.
I see. I really like Adrian Peterson, obviously, but I'm, you know, slightly biased. You know, he's a Hall of Fame running back. My old question about Adrian Peterson is, I still think he's good, but whether he's going to be good for 16 weeks is questionable. Yeah. He was good. He was good at the Cardinals last year, but he managed to maintain it for 4 weeks, and then he kind of fell apart a bit.
Yeah, and I think that you'll probably get the same again this season.
Yeah,
it's like
true.
About Marshawn Lynch. When you get older, you can't maintain week in, week out, given the ball and expect to run with it again and again and again.
It's how they use him for me. I think if they use him in the right situations and then use, you know, Chris Thompson on maybe the passing downs, and they've got Rob Kelly, who's also a power back as well. If they just mix it up a bit and don't rely 100% on Adrian Peterson, then he can do the full season. But if you basically just want him to truck the ball for, you know, 16 weeks, then I can't see him lasting.
And obviously, a lot of players have come back on the wide receiver part with Crowder and Doxon back from long-term injuries and Jordan Reed. It's a case of keeping these guys fit, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of medical staff they've got over in Washington, but they always seem to be like, every receiver they've got always seems to be in treatment room.
They remind me of Arsenal.
Yeah. I tell you what, Josh Doxon reminds me of Darren Anderton, because he's literally always got something wrong with him. He's like sick note, isn't he? It's like, every time you want to pick him up in fantasy, you're like looking at the reading the thing, and it says, just coming back from a hamstring injury, or just coming back from a wrist injury, or just coming back from a broken leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, Redskins, along past their glory days, as you call it. So, moving from them, we'll move to another team who's not successful with a Super Bowl for a while, Ian, and we'll talk about your Dallas Cowboys. How was your feeling going into this year?
You pronounced that wrong, Richard. It's called the Dallas Cowgirls.
I didn't want to take your moment away from you, that's why.
Yeah, and you know, because
I think 16 and out, you know, 16 and out this year.
We're not playing Madden here.
To be honest, I am always one of these who's like, this year, this is our year, and this year I'm not that confident. You know what our offensive line's like, but there's so many problems with that. Tyrone Smith had a lot of injuries last season. How fit's he going to be? Zach Martin's had a niggling injury in pre-season. Travis Frederick, named him on the roster, but he's had an illness that I can't even pronounce, which can lead to people not being able to walk properly. Now, they've diagnosed it early, and they're expecting him to come back, but he's very unknown at the minute.
Losing him significantly weakens that O-line.
The O-line looks as if it just looks as if it could be completely decimated, which would be a nightmare. You know, it's going to... All right, you've got Zeke, but he runs behind that O-line, and you're going to lose a lot of his strengths by that fact. You know, when in his first season, when they asked him to run and run and run again, he couldn't have done that without that O-line there to help support him. And it's whether he's going to have that. I think there's a few question marks around Dak Prescott now. He had a poor season last season. we've got a lot of decent wide receivers. No standouts particularly.
I really like Hearns, me. I think he's a good receiver.
Yeah, I like Hearns. But what I'm saying is there's no standout. We talked about Dez last week, but he's been there as the Dallas number one receiver for a long time now. And
yeah, but I would still think that Hearns is a better receiver now than Bryant was last year.
Yeah, I don't know whether I agree with that. But what I do like is that Dak likes to throw the ball around to a lot of different people, and that's the way they like to play. And we've got a lot of wide receivers there that you can throw it to. We've got a lot of options. Defensively, I think we're stronger than last year.
How much of a miss is Jason Witten going to be in?
Well, he is going to be a miss because, obviously he's a future Hall of Famer.
He was a leader at team as well, wasn't he?
He was. He's not, last season or so, he's not, still been a good, very good player, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't the player that he was before. But we haven't got a standout tight end at all now. That's what I mean with that. I really don't know how Dallas are going to do this year. We could have a decent season. We could have a shot.
Who's going in as number one tight end then? Is it Swain?
It could be Swain, or it could be the other guy, Jarman.
Oh, right, okay. I mean, I think what you've said there, I mean, I kind of like the way that Dallas have gone about things, and this might be the only positive thing I say about them, is the fact that because they've got rid of Dez Bryant and they don't have that number one wide receiver, I like that as from a defensive point of view from the opposition. It makes them slightly harder to set up against because you genuinely don't know who they're going to target, and I think that makes them a little bit more unpredictable, and I think from an offense point of view, that kind of helps them out.
Yeah, are they going to use Tavon Austin like the Rams did last year as a running back and a wide receiver?
It looks like it, yes, from what's coming out.
Tavon Austin, oh dear.
Because obviously at running back you've got Zeke and then you've got Rod Smith and Bo Scarborough, so you wouldn't really think they're going to need to use him there much.
Scarborough, I believe, was cut.
Was he being cut?
Yes.
But on a positive, it does look a good year, but a lot of Dallas fans are obviously still looking. I know this week you could talk about this for hours, Ian, about the head coach. Maybe not being the right guy in charge still.
He's just a yes man. He's a Jerry Jones man.
Anything less than 10-6, I think he's gone.
I don't know. I'd really die. I hope so.
I don't know. I thought it would have gone the other year. But
yeah, I thought it was going to go end of last season. And
yeah, but I think he's blamed a lot of last season on the injuries that he had. And I think he's kind of sweet-talked his way back in, hasn't he, by saying, oh, well, it's not my fault we had all these injuries, etc., etc. But I think that's not going to wash the second time because I think a lot of teams deal with injuries and still manage to do it well. Look at Eagles. The quarterback QB1 went down, didn't they, in Wentz, and they still managed to win the Super Bowl. So I don't think that'll wash this year.
Now, one of our other pundits who's normally on, Alex, is not on this week to defend his New York Giants, where I believe Stuart might have some opinions based on how Alex spoke about the Vikings a couple of weeks ago. So, New York Giants, Stuart, how do you feel for him?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, there's a little bit of revenge in my chat here because Alex was very unkind to the beloved Vikings, so I think it's only fair that I return the favour and call out the fact that I think his team are going to be absolutely rubbish. I don't think much of their defence, to be honest, and I think although they've got some really good young talent on offence, you know, Sterling Shepherd, Barkley, Beckham, Ingram, I think Manning is done for. I think he's genuinely done for. I think you're going to see out of Manning this year what we saw out of Peyton Manning when that last year in Denver, where he looked really slow, cumbersome, and really struggled to complete passes. And I think that's what we're going to get out of Eli this year. And I think it's going to be really funny to watch. And I think they're going to finish bottom.
Do you think Eli should have moved on?
I think he should have retired.
Yeah,
so do I.
Obviously, they've invested, put it in and getting Barkley at running back, but tying down Beckham to the long-term deal last week is obviously key to the franchise's plans. So you'd think in the background they are already muting a quarterback at some point.
Yeah, the thing is about Barkley is, don't get me wrong, I think he's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of talent. But is he going to show that talent at the Giants? Are they going to get enough push up front on that offensive line to basically punch him the gaps for him to be able to exploit and use his athleticism to gain the yards? You know, like we've just discussed about Zeke. Zeke was as good as he was because that Dallas O-line could get some really good push up front, and it creates a gap for Zeke to be able to run through the tackles and get to that secondary. And I'm worried that I don't think that Dallas are going to get the push up front to be able to give Barkley the play to be able to get him the yardage. So I think they're going to have to do a lot more trick plays out of the backfield to actually get him into some open yards to run. And then it's just, you know, that's a little bit more difficult to pull off, isn't it? So it's going to be interesting to see how they do, to be honest.
Yeah, it's definitely...
I think it comes down to it, they've still got Eli Manning, Andy Hughes. I think he was only ever average anyway. You know, to me, he's the worst quarterback who's ever won two Super Bowls. He's been an average quarterback who's on the decline now. So you can pay Beckham as much as you want. You've got Eli throwing to him, or trying to. And that's where they're going to come
from. Do you know, the only thing what upsets me a bit about the Giants this year with them having Manning, in fact, we don't have McAdoo still there, so we can have the double act.
Yeah.
So moving on to completing the Super Bowl, teams in the NFC East, the Eagles, against all the odds, being the underdogs in every state from when Carson Wentz went down early last year after the start of the season they made, the Eagles triumphed in the Super Bowl. Was it a one-off wonder, Ian?
Yes and no. I detest the Eagles with a passion. But I don't think they got the praise they deserve for what they did last year. And I don't think people are talking about them that much this year. And to me, it's been funny because, if anything, they've just strengthened, you know, and they're going to have Wentz back. And like you say, they won the Super Bowl with him injured. So I think they're going to be a very strong team. I hope I'm wrong. But I think they're going to be a very strong team again this year.
Yeah, you mentioned that about no one talking about them. It's like, yeah, they won the Super Bowl, but they're like an afterthought now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really funny, that.
Everyone's talking about the Vikings, Saints and Rams from the NFC. It's one of them three teams winning the Super Bowl. The Eagles aren't even getting a mention.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure about the Eagles yet. I think... it all depends on when Wentz comes back for me, because I look at Foles, and that's a player who is comfortable being a number two, who's comfortable being a backup. And obviously through pre-season he had the opportunity to move on and go be a number one somewhere else, obviously being Super Bowl MVP. But he's chosen to be a backup and not play. So that says to me that I'm questioning his motivation there to be. You know, because obviously any sports person wants to play at the top, and they wants to be at the top of their game. And I don't know what the motivation in Foles is like, and if he's going to lead the team in the first couple of weeks, that worries me a little bit. And they've lost a couple of players as well. They've lost players like Trey Burton, who was obviously big for them last year. So I don't know, and I don't know whether a lot of them players will be like, we did it now, it's really hard to do it, we won't do it again, and like maybe the foot's come off the pedal a little bit. It'd be interesting to see how they get on, to be honest.
Yeah, like you were going back to Nick Foles there about going on to be a starter somewhere, and obviously we've discussed in previous podcasts and on tonight's as well, there was starting quarterback jobs going at like Buffalo, obviously Jaguars were looking for quarterbacks, so it would have been options for him to go somewhere.
Well, the Browns looked to try and trade for him before they went after Tyrod Taylor, so there was definitely options for him to go. And for me, a sports person wants to be at the top of their game, and they want to be the main man, and they want to be playing. And he's effectively decided that he's quite comfortable being a backup. So that, to me, says that his motivation to be an NFL quarterback isn't what it was. And now you're going to turn around and ask him to lead out in week one his team. So if I was a member of that team, I would definitely be questioning his motives.
He's effectively saying, I've got my ring, I'm done now.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of approach, I don't think you can go into the NFL. I don't think you can go into it with that kind of attitude. I mean, I could be completely wrong, and he might have completely other reasons for staying in Eagles. But from the outside looking in, that's the kind of questions that I would be asking if I was a teammate.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some things there. Obviously, we all know you don't like the Eagles.
No.
Can you see them finishing top again, or could they be like Denver from Super Bowl 50 and not even make the playoffs?
No, I think they'll make the playoffs. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they go 0-16, but I think they'll make the playoffs.
So, wrapping up on the East then, Stuart, your positions for the NFC?
I'm going to go Eagles number one. And how they do, I mean, what their record is, I think is all dependent on when Wentz comes back. I think if he only misses maybe the first 2 weeks, then I think they'll be probably, you know, I think they'll maybe do 12-4 or something like that. I'm going to go Dallas second. I think Dallas will get into the playoffs this year. I'm liking the way that they're shaping up, and I do like Dallas. I think Washington are going to come third, and I think Giants are going to come fourth.
How about you, Ian?
I think Dallas are going to win the East, which there may be a little bit of bias coming in there. Eagles second and make the playoffs. I think Giants third, and I do think Washington will come bottom.
Yeah, see, I'm going to do one of these cat amongst the pigeons here now. So I've got Dallas winning the division. I think... I'll probably come back to hate myself on this. I think Alex Smith will guide Redskins to second with a fit team. Eagles third, Giants bottom.
Yes!
I don't think Eli Manning can do it. Like you say, with having Barkley, Beckham, Shepherd, I don't think Eli can do it no more. I think he's gone past his sell-by date.
Yeah, did he ever have one?
Well...
I know he
he fluked his two Super Bowl wins with catches what should never have happened, like unbelievable catches what you would never see in a normal game.
Yeah, but they were just one-offs, weren't they?
Yeah, a bit like the Odell Beckham against Dallas.
Yeah.
The thing is about those catches that Beckham's having to pull out ridiculous catches just because Eli Manning can't actually throw it to him properly.
Atlanta Falcons at Philadelphia Eagles.
So on Thursday, we see the return of the NFL season, and it is the Atlanta Falcons visiting the current Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, how do you see this as an opener, and any early predictions?
I think it's quite an exciting game to have, that. I like watching Atlanta because they've got so many people they can throw to. I hope Atlanta have a good season because I just think they're fun to watch.
Well, we had it last year, Ian. Vikings in a home Super Bowl. The Super Bowl's in Atlanta.
Yeah, I won't go that far. I hope they have a good season.
I don't think they've been as exciting on offense since Shanahan left, to be honest. But they have got a lot of options, and they've only actually... Yeah, I hope they kind of open the playbook again because they've only added to that offense. You know, they've drafted Calvin Ridley, so they've given themselves a little bit more pace. I can't see anything here but a Falcons win, to be honest. And I've just talked about my queries over Nick Foles' ability to lead that team. I think if it was a Wentz team, I think it would have been a really, really good game, and then it would have been close to call. But I think the Foles factor would mean that it's going to be an away win for the Falcons.
And there is a Super Bowl hangover that I think it's the past five Super Bowl champions have all lost the opening game.
Well, there you go. So put 20 quid on it.
Obviously, Falcons will want a good start after losing in the playoffs, and the home Super Bowl thing, it won't, as long as they keep winning, that won't go away.
No. It kind of works against you, though, because I think the pressure of a home Super Bowl it does get to the players, and I think it got to the Vikings players, and especially after the Minnesota Miracle, that kind of, I think players started to really believe that it was their year, and they kind of took their eye off of what they were doing, obviously, and then when Eagles turned them over, I think Falcons have got to be really careful to just take each game as it comes, each snap as it comes, and just kind of work that way without trying to get too ahead of themselves when thinking about the home Super Bowl.
No, because like I say, as soon as that creeps into the players, that's them gone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just you're then fighting a mental battle as well, and I think they just need to be focusing on, you know, the physical aspects of what the NFL deals with without trying to get themselves into kind of some mental turmoil.
Yeah. So I think you've obviously alluded there to an away win. Stu, are you going to say, Ian?
I think Eagles will win, actually.
So I get deciding one.
What's with the saying something positive about the Eagles? You've just slagged them off for 5 minutes.
Could you not see how miserable I was? Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm going Falcons as well.
Yeah, that's better.
So I've got Falcons doing it as well.
Falcons by 25.
Falcons by 50.
Yeah.
I won't go that half far. Time. But yeah, clean sweep then for Falcons. Wins from us guys then. So, coming to the end of the show now, we'd like to end our show as normal with some honourable mentions from the NFL week. Stuart, I believe you've got one to start us on.
Do I?
Yes, you do. It's a message. You've been asked to give a message out, haven't you?
No, I can't do that. I was only joking. I can't actually dob him into his wife whilst he's listening.
Well, you're going to have to now, aren't you?
You're going to have to.
No, I can't possibly tell Charles Clawson's wife that he's going to America for 2 weeks to watch NFL. That wouldn't be correct, and it wouldn't be right.
Yeah, you're probably right. We shouldn't mention that,
should we?
Yeah.
No, and yeah. I think it'd be unfair, and it'd probably create divorce proceedings, and I don't want to be the person that starts that, so I'm going to decline the opportunity to say anything.
Oh, sorry, yeah, looking at my notes, my first honourable mention is actually Ian, not Stuart.
Yeah, I've actually got two, but the one that we were talking about was Colin Kaepernick being in the new advert for Nike, and there's been lots of videos over the last day or so of people burning their footwear, sometimes wearing them. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have seen one where someone's wearing a pair of trainers and they've set fire to them.
That's the mentality of those people. I've got a lot of respect for Colin Kaepernick. You know, with the stand he took, he didn't make a big fuss about it, he just did it. And I like the guy. I think it's a shame he's not playing anywhere at the moment.
Well,
yeah, I to be honest, I agree. I think the whole right for peaceful protest, I think Colin Kaepernick took that, you know, that's what he did. He didn't, you know, he didn't hurt anybody. He's freedom of speech. It was a peaceful protest. And I know it's slightly different in obviously the era, but if you're looking back at people like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, that's what they were all about, was that kind of peaceful protest. And I just think that he's been hung out to dry, basically, because he wanted to make a statement in a peaceful protest, and he used his position within the game to be able to make that protest. He didn't hurt anybody. He wasn't trying to disrespect anybody. He was trying to bring focus to something that he was passionate about. And I think it's kind of got out of control now. And I really, really like the Nike advert. I've got a lot of respect now for Nike on doing that. I think that's brilliant.
I think in a follow-up to your Colin Kaepernick there, so there was another tweet today, what's going on, you might have seen it, saying Colin Kaepernick sent this tweet to the NFL offices and federal courts and saying, I need to be in the NFL because Buffalo Bills have stated Nathan Peterman is the number one quarterback. I saw that tweet and I thought that's highly amusing.
I did hear one about the Bills as well, saying that they'd decided to cut all the punters because they weren't going to need them this year.
That's funny.
That is quite good, is that? Have you got any of them, any more, Stuart? Obviously not dobbing anyone into the wife.
Yeah, I've just got one more, and I posted it in the group earlier on, and it's a college game where LSU are playing Miami, and I think LSU are on the, third line, so it's like third and goal, and they are going to try and punch it in, and the left guard of LSU basically blocks two pass rushers from Miami and creates a gap for the running back to basically just walk in completely unaided. And I just thought, you've got to be pretty good to be able to block two in one go. And he's kind of got his left hand on one and he's got his right hand on the other, and he basically just blocks both of them. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. So I think people need to check that out. That's quite a good watch.
I was a bit distracted then because one of my cats has just brought the biggest moth I've ever seen into my house, and just flying about the place, chasing it now. So,
yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
If nobody else knows that Ian actually lives in a zoo,
but he hasn't got other animals; it's just cats.
Yeah,
and a moth now.
Yeah, and a moth. Although I think the moth may be on its last legs at the minute, or last wings.
So one other little bit I saw this week, and probably everyone sits and watches the NFL show on BBC, and they were doing a bit of, they always take the mick out of the predictions and pundits, what Jason Bell and OC do, and Mark Chapman this week announced a Romo Award and it's going to be presented to one of them two, whoever gets the most predictions right. And OC just came out with, so in 3 years of doing this show, I'm 99% on my predictions, and you name it after Romo. He says it's like saying that Mark Chapman's football predictions, but they're going to rename the award the Lineker Award.
To be honest, it made me laugh. It's definitely a clip you need to watch because it was hilarious.
And I think you've shared this in the group as well, haven't you, Stu?
Yeah, it's quite funny.
I think the banter between them three is really good, but Tony Romo's predictions last year in the NFL, in the games and the players, I think he was pretty much flawless anyway.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah,
I really like them too. To be honest, the three of them make a really good kind of presenting. I really like that show. So people should check it out.
Definitely. So nothing else from me, guys, this week. If any of you two want to end with anything?
The only thing I want to mention, it came up, I can't remember what I was watching, and it is sort of NFL related because they use it all the time. You know, Americans seem to invent words. And one thing they use in American football a lot is winningest. They're the winningest team in NFL history, or the winningest team in it. It's not a word, is it? And they use it all the time. All the commentators use it. And it really annoys me. I just want to get off my chest. I've never had a chance before. So.
Well, they are famous for inventing words, aren't they? Making up their own
English. I'm glad you've shared it, Ian. I think we should make a little plight on this podcast to try and get that out of circulation.
Yeah, so do I. And anybody English who uses it should be shocked.
Yeah, we should call it the Appease Ian Davis Word Foundation.
Yeah, I'll come up with a list.
Yeah, I think you should.
Next time I'm on, I'll have a list.
Yeah. We can tweet it out as well and try and get some hashtag Ian Davis Word Foundation going.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Also, on the tweeting part there, if anyone wants to send any questions in to Coach Steve, if you can either email them to nflfansyorkshire@gmail.com or at tsnapcast. Hopefully Coach Steve in the next week or so is going to answer all the questions what you've all got regarding players in the NFL. Stuart, could you just let everyone know on our social media contacts?
Yeah, so if anybody wants to follow me, I'm Ridiculed Idiot on Twitter. That is genuinely my Twitter handle. It's not a joke. Where you can also follow us on T-Snapcast, which is obviously the First Down Snapcast Twitter page. If you want to come join us on the Facebook group, it's NFL Fans at Yorkshire on the Facebook. If you want to drop us an email or anything, or drop us a message on Facebook, just do so. Any comments, any questions, you can send them to me, but it's highly likely I'll get somebody else to answer them because I don't know anything. Thanks for the support and the listening, guys, and let's keep rolling.
Excellent. Well, Thanks for your time, Ian and Stuart, this week. It's been a pleasure as always.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers.
And we'll be see you guys next week.
Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.